head, come to the altar. Let's pray as we come to the altar this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you as the psalmist did in chapter 139 and said, Lord, you have searched us and known us. You know when we sit down and when we stand up. You understand our thoughts from far away. You observe our travels and our rest. You are aware of all our ways. Before a word is on our tongue, you know it all. You know all about it, Lord. You have encircled us. You have placed your hand on us. This wondrous knowledge is beyond us. It is lofty. We are unable to reach it. Where can we go to escape your spirit? Where can we flee from your presence? If we go up to heaven, you are there. If we make our bed in Sheol, you are there. If we live at the eastern horizon or settle at the western hills, even there your hand will lead us. Your right hand will hold on to us. If we say, surely the darkness will hide us and the light around us will be night, even the darkness is not dark to you, Father. The night shines like the day. Darkness and night are alike to you. For it was you who created our inward parts. You knit us together in our mother's womb. We will praise you because we have been remarkably and wondrously made. Your works are wondrous, and we know this very well. Our bones were not hidden from you when we were made in secret, when we were formed in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw us when we were formless. All our days were written in your book and planned before a single one of them began. God, how precious your thoughts are to us. How vast their sum is. If we counted them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When we wake up, we are still with you. So, search us, God, and know our hearts. Test us. And know our concerns. See if there is any offensive way in us, and lead us in the everlasting way. Father, speak to us as we hear from your word this morning. In Jesus' holy name, amen. We've heard Leo preach these last few Sundays on reading Moses and seeing Jesus. So from the book of Exodus perspective, God has given us his word, and this was written way back three thousand years ago, and we need to apply it to our life. So what Leo preached last Sunday, if you remember, about going to the altar, he talked about we serve a mind-blowing God, an awesome God that does some amazing things in our lives. We serve a holy God and a benevolent God. Today I want to address rules of engagement. So what we talked about last week, coming to the altar, and now rules for worship or laws for worship, what he's given us in the book of Exodus. So rules of engagement are basically rules that define our actions. They tell us the boundaries, as it says there, as the circumstances, conditions, degree, and manner in which actions may be applied. God has given us some rules of engagement for our world today. And many times we read those, we kind of pass over them, but in Exodus 21, we're going to address some of those. Now, you can't see those, but those are basic rules of combat from the army's perspective. It says some basic things about those rules of conduct. Let me see. I can't see that little up there, but I can see it here. First rule, you are not Superman. Second rule, if it's stupid but works, it isn't stupid. Don't look suspicious because it draws fire. So you have all those things from the army's perspective. Then you have rules of combat from the Marines' perspective. And I like this one also. Their first rule, bring a gun, preferably bring at least two guns, bring all of your friends who have guns. And I'm not a Marine, I've never been in the military, so if your shooting stance is good, you're probably not moving fast enough or using cover correctly. And that goes through their list. And then the last one, basic rules of combat for the Navy. They state, adopt an aggressive offshore posture, drink coffee, and send in the Marines. So, Mike, are you a Marine? So those rules of engagement, we can find humor in those. But in real life, there are rules of engagement. This is a copy of rules of engagement for the Joint Task Force for Somalia in 1992. Now, this is not a humorous one. This is a serious one that talks about the rules of contact, the rules of engagement to there in Somalia. One of them, remember, we're not at war. You only use the forces necessary, that sort of thing. Just basic stuff for how they were to engage in that situation. So, when you look at the Old Testament laws, and this is Exodus 21, if you'll turn to there and look, what it says, it talks about a variety of laws. And why should we consider outdated Old Testament laws? And we're going to get to that in a little bit. But there are some laws about altars. That's the one that DeLeo addressed last week, and the awesome God and benevolent God and those pieces. There are some laws about slaves, about restitution, about social justice, about Sabbath and festivals, rules about personal injury and theft, crop protection, personal property, seduction, several different perspectives that God has given us rules for engagement in our culture, in our society. However, we tend to look at them and say, well, they don't apply. They're outdated. Slavery, you know, that's not something we have to deal with right now. We talk about a variety of these, the Sabbath and festivals. That's not something that we pay a whole lot of attention to right now. Social justice is one that we try to deal with. So all these, so we need to look and see what are the rules of engagement that God has given us. So, why should we consider outdated laws? So one of the reasons God has given us these rules of engagement is to communicate boundaries. He has given us specific directions, specific ways to do things, and we tend to, well, I know for myself, hey, I'm an American, I have rights, I'll do it the way I want to. But God has given us some basic rules, some basic guidelines for life. So to communicate boundaries, to show God's concerns, and while some of them are totally outdated for us, God's concerns for us, His love and concern, is total and timeless. And we'll look at some of those adjustments in that. Why should we consider outdated laws? To demonstrate grace. In these laws, it does give us directions. This happens, you do this. Not more, but that way. So it does show us to demonstrate grace. It's to address human behavior. Human behavior has not changed a whole lot in centuries. People still treat people meanly. We still do dumb stuff, all that sort of thing that happens. So these Old Testament laws, even though they're outdated, they still address human behavior that we need to translate into our setting. And then the last reason why we should consider outdated laws is to give life. God loves us and has a plan for our life. And He has given us rules and guidelines, rules of engagement, so that we can live a life that's pleasing to Him. So even Jesus in Matthew chapter 5 said, "Don't think that I have come to abolish the law of the prophets." So while we think we're too sophisticated or we're beyond that, or this is 2019 and this doesn't apply, we think all those things. But Jesus comments there in Matthew 5, "Don't think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill." And it goes on through some other verses there. "I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never get to the kingdom of heaven." God has given us His rules, His guidelines, these rules of engagement, so that we can be in relationship with Him. So Jesus said, "I didn't come to abolish the law or prophets, but to fulfill them." So I need to keep that in mind as we go through these this morning. So Exodus 21, these verses that have been assigned to me. So what I want to do in looking at these verses is address the principles and the desired outcomes and then the lessons learned from these laws. So like I said, some of them seem outdated to us, they're antiquated, they just don't seem to apply, and yet there are some principles in those that do apply to us in our life, in our setting. So according to addressing principles, the first principle we find in Exodus 21, starting with verse 12, is the value of life. God has given us these guidelines, these rules of engagement, to help us understand the value of life. In verse 12, Exodus 21:12, "Whoever strikes a person so that he dies must be put to death. But if he did not intend any harm, and yet God allowed it to happen, I will appoint a place for you where he may flee. If a person schemes and willfully acts against this neighbor to murder him, you must take him from my altar to put him to death." So that does address the capital punishment issue, but it's talking about the value of life. So we don't tend to think this is going to apply to us, and yet the value of life does apply to us. This next verse, in verse 16, whoever kidnaps a person must be put to death, whether he sells him or the person is found in his possession. So again, that seems outdated for us, and yet human trafficking perhaps is a part of that. In it all, the principle of this principle of value of life, God gives us this principle so that we will value life. Does that make sense? Even though it seems antiquated to us, the principle that God has given us is the value of life. In the next few verses, talks about the value of family. Verses 15 and 17, now hold on to your seats for this one, you kiddos. Well, this says, whoever strikes his father or his mother must be put to death. Whoever curses his father or mother must be put to death. Now, that seems pretty radical, doesn't it, Julianne? That's So we think this is outdated. It was applied to us. What were they meaning? What's the purpose of this? And yet God values family, the respect of family, respect of family order. And while this does seem harsh to us, I still question, even after I've studied and prepared for this, you know, why is it there are times that I know that for our kids, I think that might have been a good deal. But Janice told us one time, or not Janice, somebody told us one time that teenagers, when they get to be teenagers, put a kid in a barrel. And feed them through a hole in the barrel. When they turn 16, cover up the hole. That's from a parent's side. But what we're seeing in these two verses, and they're just two verses, random verses right there in the middle of these principles, these rules of engagement, talks about the value, respect, and honor of family. So while we do not go out and kill the kid because it's being disobedient, there is that idea of respect that as parents we need to teach our children to be respectful. We need to teach them to honor us. We need to be honorable to start with. So that sort of piece is the rules of engagement God has given us. Value family, that family respect and honor and family order. And perhaps this, it doesn't say directly, but may deal with the both parents in the home. So just having an intact family with the honor and love and joy that comes with family relationships. So value of family. The next verses talk about other relationships, the relationships that we have. When men quarrel and one strikes the other with a stone or his fist, and the injured man does not die but is confined to bed, if he can lay to get up and walk around outside leaning on his staff, then the one who struck him will be exempt from punishment. Nevertheless, he must pay for his lost work time and provide for his complete recovery. So again, what's that doing in the Bible? And yet it teaches us the value of relationship. That when people don't get along and things happen, and this was talking about a man striking with a rock or his hand or whatever, just talking about these rules of engagement, we need to live according to God's rules and honor the relationships with other people. That would mean that we perhaps need to address our own anger issues so that we don't strike somebody with a rock or a hand. Deal with the fact that we need to live a life that is pleasing so we don't have those arguments and disagreements with others. But that was rules of engagement, the relationships, the value of relationships. These next verses talk about fairness in verses 22 to 25. When men get in a fight, if you notice, there's a lot of men getting in a fight in these. So when a man get in a fight and hit a pregnant woman so that her children are born prematurely, but there is no injury, the one who hit her must be fined as the woman's husband demands from him, and he must pay according to judicial assessment. If there is an injury, you must give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, bruise for bruise, wound for wound. Now that again, we think that's outdated, that doesn't seem right. And yet the value of relationships, the value of fairness, and what he is addressing here, it seems like things escalate. Now I have brothers, three brothers, two sisters. A brother a year older than me and a brother a year younger than me. And we were kind of like the Three Stooges, and we did that sort of thing. And so a brother would hit me, so I'd hit him back a little harder, of course. And then he would hit me back a little bit harder than that. And it just escalated until we got to full-out fight. And Mom said, take it outside, and we would, and finish our fight outside. So this is dealing that fairness, eye for an eye, hand for a hand, tooth for a tooth. And as kids, so we didn't abide by that usually. But what God is telling us, these rules for engagement, it's the fairness in response to injury or hurt that we receive. Now, if you remember in the New Testament, It does talk about, you know, it said, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, but for what I say, you know, to love one another. So there is that, that rules of engagement, addressing, the principle of fairness. Now, addressing the principle of property, in verses 20, or you read those, when a man strikes his male or female slave with a rod and the slave dies under his abuse, the owner must be punished. However, if the slave can stand up after a day or two, the owner should not be punished because he is his owner's property. Again, outdated for us, that's not an issue. And yet the principle is that value of life, the value of property, taking care of those things. When a man strikes the eye of his male or female slave and destroys it, he must let the slave go free in compensation for his eye. If he knocks out the tooth of the male or female slave, he must let the slave go in compensation for his tooth. Again, those outdated us, and yet what God says, the value, the intent, the purpose of personal property in that day, slavery, in our day, it's just the personal property we have. He goes on, when an ox gores a man, again, outdated for us, but when an ox gores a man or woman to death, the ox must be stoned, and its meat may not be eaten, but the ox's owner is innocent. However, if the ox was in the habit of goring, and its owner had been warned, yet does not restrain it, and it kills a man or woman, the ox must be stoned, its owner must also be put to death. Now again, that seems pretty strict, and yet the principle, the value of life, the value of property, doing those things, make a difference. Instead, if a ransom is demanded of him, this is the goring ox again, he can pay a redemption price for the life of the full amount demanded of him. If it gores a son or a daughter, he is able to be dealt with according to the same law. If the ox gores a male or female slave, he must give 30 shekels of silver to the slave's master, and the ox must be stoned. So again, outdated for us, but the principles are there, the fairness and property value of life and those things. So while we read Moses, we can see Jesus at work, and these the same principles are a value in our lives. So the responsibility, the value, the principle of responsibility. When a man uncovers a pit or digs a pit and does not cover it, and an ox or donkey falls in it, the owner of the pit must give compensation. He must pay to its owner, but the dead animal will become his. When a man's ox injures his neighbor's ox and it dies, he must sell the live ox and divide his proceeds. You see, for us, we tend to just glide over this. For me, when I'm reading through the Bible and I get to those passages in Exodus, it just kind of glazes over and it doesn't apply to me. Just divide the dead animal. However, if the ox was in the habit of goring, yet its owner has not restrained it, he must compensate fully. Ox for ox, the dead ox will become his. So just the value, the principle of property and responsibility. So you go through this chapter. Now, Joshua is going to address some of these principles next week, some of these same laws, basic rules of engagement. But for us to have that, know those principles, God is at work addressing principles in our life that address today. So while we don't have an ox that gores our neighbors, we have a responsibility, the principle of fairness and life and value, property, family, all those pieces can address things that address us in our lives. So we talked about principles, now desired outcomes. What are some of the desired outcomes? God has given us rules of engagement, and while they seem archaic to us, what are desired outcomes? One desired outcome is obedience. So even when we say, well, that doesn't apply to us, yet there are principles there that do, and God expects obedience. So while this is written in a totally different culture, in a totally different day, in a totally different setting, and totally different everything, and yet the desired outcome of God's word to us is obedience to His word. That doesn't mean you need to go out and buy an ox so you can take care of it. It doesn't mean you're going to deal with slaves. But there are principles for us in our lives that need to be addressed, and the outcome of those principles that God desires is our obedience. The next outcome, desired outcome, is more understanding. So while our tendency is, well, I have lived my life pretty insulated. I go through and I do what I think I need to do, and I have my job and I have my family, I have those responsibilities. When I look at God's word, there are responsibilities on beyond what I might claim. Those responsibilities, and I already addressed something about human trafficking, and while that does not apply to me directly, there are people that are affected by that. And I need to be aware and understand that, that there are some things that perhaps I should be doing in response to that. You can think of other things in our lives that are happening that may not have a big impact, and yet God has given us a responsibility to understand what's going on, in obedience, address what we know we should. Then the last one, better relationships. So when we talk about parental family relationships, we talk about neighbors, men fighting and doing those things, or all those pieces. God's desire for us is better relationships. Relationships with family, relationships with friends, with coworkers, with neighbors, with people around us. Having that kind of better relationships, because God's Word has given us some rules for engagement. So you have the principles, the desired outcomes, and then the third one is lessons learned. So what are the lessons that we need to learn from this? Restitution and grace, so that when these things happen in life, even though the Old Testament to us seems archaic, there is the idea of restitution and grace that comes from that. So lessons learned, the lesson of grace. God gives us grace. Reading Moses, seeing Jesus, Moses talks about, here's your rules of engagement. Jesus says we need to give grace. We need to love and give grace. Another lesson learned is that actions have consequences. So if you hit somebody with a rock, there's going to be consequences. If you have an anger towards someone, there are going to be consequences. All these things, actions and consequences, are lessons learned from these rules of engagement. And then the last one, relationships matter. Relationships do make a big difference. At work, at home, in the neighborhood, with family, relationships are key. So while we talk about reading Moses and seeing Jesus, the key relationship is to know that God loves you. God loves you and has a plan for your life. That relationship is paramount. That is the pinnacle. That is a relationship that counts more than any others. We look at a verse like John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. That's a relationship that the rules for engagement are trying to address, to know that God loves you and has a plan for your life. God loves you, but also to know that we are sinful creatures. We have a sin problem. We are separated from God. So while we read Moses and see Jesus to recognize God loves us, but we have a sin problem. The verses that address this, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. But in Isaiah, your iniquities, your sins have made a separation between you and God. And that's where many of us are, that separation because of sin in our lives. But God loves us. He has a plan for us. We have sin in our lives that separates us from him. But Jesus Christ is God's only provision for our sin. So we talk about this relationship. We talk about the rules of engagement. Jesus Christ is God's only provision for our sin. In John chapter 14, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's not through Buddha. It's not through any of the other religions that are in our world today. Tolerance is not something that Jesus talked about, I am the way, if you want to choose that one. He just simply said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In Romans, God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So God loves us. We have sinned and separated from God. Jesus Christ is God's only provision for man's sin. We must individually receive Jesus as our Savior and Lord. So those rules for engagement, and these rules of engagement in John chapter 1, all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be children of God. In Romans, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. And then in Ephesians, you are saved by grace through faith. It's not something you have done. It's not you, from yourselves, but it's God's gift. So we have that relationship. God loves us, has a plan for our lives. The sin problem, Jesus Christ is the answer, and we must individually receive Jesus as our Savior and Lord. So these rules and great engagement help us to address these things. Reading Moses, and even though it does seem outdated, antiquated, antique, old, not necessarily applying, we see Jesus in that. God wants us to have a right relationship with him. As Moses was writing the book of Exodus, trying to give people those boundaries, those rules of engagement, and as we see Jesus in those, that's what we need to live for. So next steps. And this is where we'll end the service this morning with these. Reading Moses and following Jesus. So while we read these Old Testament laws, to know that God has a plan and a purpose, God has a direction for that. It's a right relationship with Him. Reading Moses and following Jesus. So as worship team comes, let's pray together. Father, I am thankful that you've given us your word. And while it's hard to read sometimes and hard to understand, thank you for the principles that are there. Thank you for the principles that you've given us for life and love and hope and family and relationship and property and all those things. So Father, as we read Moses, help us to see Jesus and help us to be obedient to follow him. So Father, in this time of decision, I pray that you speak. Help us to listen. Help us to obey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.